Welcome back to The Coop with Meyer Hatchery, where we talk all things poultry in hopes of inspiring crazy chicken keepers and educating future flock owners. I'm Kendra.
And I'm Jeff. And today we'll discuss flying the coop as part of a Year with Chicken series.
We dedicate one episode per month to this series, covering what to expect when raising a chicken in that particular month. For the month of September, we're taking a look at all things outside of the coop now that your chicks have matured. We'll discuss everything from how to free range to preparing for molt and how to literally keep your flock from flying the coop with wing trimming. And now it's time for your poultry pick of the week. Jeff, what'd you pick this week?
Silkies are our poultry pick of the week. The epitome of pet chickens, silkies are small, fluffy, and friendly. Lacking in egg production, they make up for in broodiness and are often used to hatch chicks on the homestead. These bantams are available in white, buff, black, and blue coloring, making them the perfect addition to your family-friendly flock today.
Lately, we've been getting a lot of questions in regards to free ranging, what it is, how to do it, and what does it look like if you have other animals around the farm? Well, we're here to answer all of those questions. Free ranging can seem a little intimidating. You've put a lot of time and effort into raising your chicks, building your dream coop, and now you're going to let them run around the yard on their own terms?
Free ranging doesn't have to be intimidating. If you're moving your chicks to the coop when they are fully feathered or have purchased some mature hens, you'll want to keep them locked in the coop with food and water for 3 or 4 days.
Think of this as a reset. It lets them know this is their home, a safe haven from predators, weather, and where they can find their food and water. After a few days, feel free to open the door and allow them to roam. If you have a run, you can allow them to explore that area first before opening the gate to your full yard.
You'll find in the first few days, they'll often stick close to the coop, but will slowly begin to venture further and further away. Chickens have no boundaries and will go into your garden, neighbor's yard, and flower beds. Fencing really is the best option to keep the chickens either in or out of specific areas.
Our neighbors are pretty far from us on either side of our property, but we do have two neighbors directly across the road. We have had chickens cross the road and have even lost a chicken making this crossing. For those venturing off, we lock them back in the coop to again reset their behavior, reminding them that this is home. Eventually, we broke them of this habit, but it was not without persistence. Also, for new chicks who get transitioned into my existing flock, they're usually a little hesitant to leave the coop. For about a week or so, I add a feeder and water right outside of the coop door. Once my flock leaves, I shake a little food into the feeder to provoke them to come out. By the end of the week, they've slowly decided it's safe and begin running out with everyone else. Now, if you have other animals on the farm, they will go and say hi. We have pigs, who a few of our flock members like to frequent, looking for scraps that may have been missed, or a feeder panel left open for some extra snacks. We also have dogs who are raised with our chickens and are trained to behave around them. As Australian Shepherds, they like to attempt herding them when they begin to stray too far from the coop, but have never caused injury. We've been asked about barn cats as well. Out in the country, we occasionally get stray cats passing through and, knock on wood, have not had any issue. I would advise you to be a little more cautious with chicks, but once fully mature, your flock can usually hold their own. If you're concerned about the introduction, you could always try the integration technique we cover in episode 16.
For example, if you have free-ranging barn cats, place your chickens in a fenced enclosure outside and watch. Same with ducks or the introduction of a puppy. Let them get close to the fence and explore. But if you witness any unwanted behavior, then you'll know you have some training to work on. A fun fact, the National Chicken Council reports that less than 1% of chickens nationwide are raised as free range.
If you have the room to free range, it's something I highly recommend. It helps keep your chickens active, but also provides pest control, nutrient-dense eggs, and can help cut the cost on feed. Next, we often get asked about dust bathing. It's something that all poultry enjoys participating in to keep them clean and free of parasites. If you've never witnessed the activity, it's quite a sight as your chickens lay on the ground, kick dirt over themselves, and ruffle their feathers.
Sometimes they'll stay in a stretched out position and some bathe. If your chickens are confined, we recommend providing an area that they can use as a dust bath. Typically, this area is full of sand, soil, wood ash, and DE, or first Saturday lime.
If you free range, your flock will find their own area to dust bathe. In our yard, it's hard to tell if the hole you just tripped over was from the dog or the birds. Again, the only preventative measure you can take to ensure your birds aren't bathing in unwanted areas is fencing.
With a fence, you may experience some of your new flock members jumping overboard and exploring wherever they wish. If you like to keep your poultry confined to a specific area or a run without netting draped over the top, you may want to consider trimming their wings.
Despite common myths, wing trimming is harmless to your bird's well-being if done properly. To clip the wing, you can use regular kitchen shears or any trusty pair of scissors. Extend the wing and locate the first 10 feathers, called the primary flight feathers. We recommend cutting no more than 50% of the feather's length. Feathers do have blood vessels, so if trimmed too short, it can cause bleeding, similar to clipping your dog's toenails. Wing trimming is only done on one wing, as this will throw the bird off balance when attempting to fly. If your birds are for show, wing clipping is not recommended. We've linked an excellent blog post below with photos so you can visually see exactly what feathers to trim.
Last but not least, many of you may be experiencing molting. For chickens that are 18 months or older, they will molt every year in late summer or early fall. Molting is a term that refers to the complete rapid shedding of old feathers and regrowth of new feathers.
Every bird molts differently, and no 2 years are the same. During this time, hens will drastically slow or completely stop laying eggs. Feathers consist of 85% protein, so the protein used in egg production is now reserved for new feather growth.
Giving your flock a higher protein ration while molting will aid in feathers returning quickly, helping them to get back to laying sooner. You can also provide high-protein treats like black oil sunflower seeds, plain yogurt, pumpkin seeds, mealworms, or scrambled eggs.
When, how long, and how drastic your hen's molt is varies drastically between individual birds. Your hen's feathers may appear ruffled, you may notice some bare spots, or your hen could lose large patches of feathers exposing their skin. On average, the molting process will take around 7 to 8 weeks from start to finish, but can easily take up to 12 weeks. And that concludes common chicken behavior as they begin to fly the coop. We hope this helps you prepare for molting, dust baths, free ranging, or containing mischievous hens from quite literally flying the coop.
Thanks for listening to The Coop. Be sure to subscribe, and if you'd be so kind, drop us a review.
See you all next week.